privilegio tenemos estar en ese lugar para alabar el nombre de Jesús. And what a privilege it is to be here tonight to praise the name of Jesus. Amen. ¿Cuánto creen eso? How many believe that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. All right. Well, we have a treat tonight. Brother Neil's going to finish what he started Sunday night. Amen. If he don't get finished, he'll have to do it another night, I guess. Amen. Let's stand together, shall we? Amen. All of our kids can. You can be dismissed to your class. And then our upper room youth, amen, you can go to your respective class. We do apologize for the dimness up here. Brother Neil's going to light it up, but it'll be all right. Amen. One of our switches went out right before service, and we don't have another one to put in there, so we'll have to wait, and we'll try to have it ready by Sunday. All right. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Brother Neil, Lord bless you, sir. Come. Take your liberty, sir, in Jesus' name.
Thank you. Lord bless you. Amen. Love you. Praise the Lord. Let's just give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Thank you, Jesus. I worship you. I worship you, Jesus. I worship you. I praise your holy, 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 holy name. You're worthy tonight, Jesus. You're worthy. You are so worthy to be worshipped. Thank you so very much, Jesus, for your wonderful spirit. I worship you. I worship you. Ah, thank you, God. Can you say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
Don't look so serious.
Amen.
Can you just smile?
Yes, sir.
Smile. Praise God. God is good to me.
Yes, He is.
Praise the Lord.
Yes, He is. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. Well,
amen.
I feel like a kid with a big old bazooka. He shouldn't be handling stuff like this. Just shouldn't be. Praise the Lord. God is good.
Yes, He is.
I asked Kenzie and Kayla and Amanda if they would sing a song, and they agreed to. Let's just worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Bless the Lord.
Oh, I worship you. Magnify you, we magnify your holy name.
Thank you, Jesus.
Why don't you close your eyes and worship the Lord? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place. Worship you, Jesus.
The more
we need you.
I want to see.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Master. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you very much. God is so good to us, church. Praise the holy name of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I don't really have a title. If there was to be a title, I guess it, I would say, why the mystery? Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you would, if you get with me,
right,
and we can preach.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. I was sitting, but obviously I was sitting back there as they're singing, and just felt the sweet presence of the Lord.
Amen.
Peace. The peace of the Lord.
Oh,
hallelujah. He's here. He is here. He is in this place.
Oh, yes, Lord.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. I worship you. I worship you. I worship you. Praise you, Jesus. To feel your spirit. It's all that matters.
Hallelujah.
If I could just be, if I could get into your spirit, I wouldn't want to read any of this stuff. I would just want to feel him, because I know everything's going to be all right. There's no need to preach. If I can feel his peace, I know everything will be okay. He's going to work it out. I felt the spirit of the Lord. I thank you, Jesus. I worship you. I remember, I don't mean to reflect on this all the time, but this has just been a part of me. And when I was in that place, there was a sweet spirit of the Lord, a peace. I felt that here tonight. No matter what the world is, how much trouble the world is in, how Syria and Egypt and all of those places are in turmoil tonight.
Right.
But we are secure in Him.
Right. Amen.
Praise God. And I want to start out by just a Bible study tonight. And
it's all right.
I want to start out with 1 Timothy 3:16. It says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, and believed on in the world, and received up into glory."
Amen. Yes, sir.
Great is the mystery of godliness. I just revistory to you.
Yep.
God was manifest in the flesh.
That's it. God was.
God was. Not the second God, a demigod, or another God that somewhere, no, God, the only true God, the only God. There is no other deity but Him. There is none other. He was the God that spoke the worlds into existence. That God, He made Himself a body. He dwelled within that body.
Yes, He did.
The Godhead is a mystery by design.
Uh-huh.
Why the mystery then? His disciples asked him a question. He said, they said to him, "Why speakest thou to them in parables?" And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given to you to know the mystery of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." Matthew 13:10-11. A parable is revealed, is truth, revealed truth to some while hiding truth from others. Depending on whether or not the individual loves the Lord or he doesn't love truth. It's designed to be veiled from one, hid and revealed to another.
Right.
By design. And I want to get to that here in just a minute. So bear with me. If you seek, you shall find. You knock on it, it will open up. So, there's a word that if you would get a chance to look it up, it's called exegesis, and it means digging up. So you get into the Word of God and you dig it up, because there are things in the Scripture that are marvelous. I pray tonight that He would open up our eyes that we may behold wondrous things out of His law. That we might have that understanding, that sense of the Word of God, that we could have an understanding, that we could have revival in our hearts, and we could have joy. Their eyes, or rather, for this people's hearts wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears and should understand with their hearts and should be converted, and I should heal them. I kind of thought that was what it was supposed to be all about, wasn't it? You know?
Yes, sir.
But there is a reason. The reason why. The Scripture says their eyes have they closed. They just... And the reason is because if you'll realize, and I'm sure you already know this, that when truth is revealed, and if they acknowledge this is true, then they're held accountable.
Right.
And that's why they... I don't believe that. How many times have you, Brother Fry, Brother Wesley, how many times have you talked to somebody about truth and they don't... Well, I don't believe that. We just read out of the Word of God. I mean, come on now. It's the Word of God. It's not Raymond. It's not Wesley. It's not Brother Grissom. It's the Word of God. Because they chose to do this. They chose to close their eyes. So He spoke to them in parable.
Yes, He did.
Unbelief is an exercise of free will. The Godhead is a parable. These things have I spoken unto you in parables, rather in proverbs. But the time cometh when I shall no more speak unto you in proverbs, but I shall show you the Father plainly. John 16. The words proverb and parable are the same word. It's the exact same word. Some say the Godhead cannot be understood. You ever heard that? It's a mystery. It's a mystery.
Yeah,
it's a mystery, all right. The Godhead can be understood, and I'm going to prove it to you.
It's revealed.
Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. Mm-hmm. For God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen.
Right. That's it.
Being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead.
Yeah.
So that they are without excuse. That's Romans 1 and 19. God's power and Godhead can be clearly seen. It says it right here. So next time somebody says, the ones that say this, actually, I'm just going to be plain here. The ones that actually say that are the ones that believe in the Trinity, because they can't explain it. So they say, well, it's a mystery. You know, it's just unexplainable. Well, you know, I'm going to tell you, it's not either, because God is not three. God is one. How many gods are there?
One.
All right, Deuteronomy. Anybody know that scripture? Deuteronomy 6 and 4?
I believe so.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, Lord. God is one. The cornerstone of all truth. None else beside Him. Let's look at this. Deuteronomy 4:35. It says, unto thee it was showed that thou mayest know that the Lord, He is God. There is none else beside Him.
That's right.
See now what I am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive, I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. There's no God with Him. There's no else God beside Him. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servants, whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am He. Before me there is no God formed, neither shall there be after me. So there's not one beside him. There's no God with him. There's no God before him. No God will be formed after him. Wherefore thou art great, O God. For there is none like thee, neither is there any God beside thee, according to all that we have heard with our ears. None like him. None before him, none with him, and none beside him. It sounds like there's one God to me. So even the devils believe in one God. and they tremble because there is one God, all powerful. Even the devils know that there's only one God. There's not two. This truth of one God scares the devil and makes him tremble. James 2:19. Concerning therefore the eating of those things that are offered in sacrifice unto idols, we know that there is no idols. Idols are nothing in the world, and that there is none other God but one. Colossians 8:4. First, so there's none other God. And the devils believe there's no God like him, no God before him, no God with him, no God beside him. There is no other God but one.
That's it.
One God.
Amen.
Now let's look at the New Testament. There is only one God in the New Testament as well. And he is he Jesus? Is God Jesus? Prophesied Messiah will be God. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9:6. A child will be born, he will be called the Mighty God. Revealed truth. The Son will be Everlasting Father. It's a mystery. God chose to do this. In the Old Testament, he didn't reveal who his name. You remember when he wrestled with Jacob? Jacob, he said, "What is your name?" He said,
yeah.
"It's a secret. I'm not telling."
Right.
And then Samson's father and mother even inquired, and he wouldn't tell it then either. It's a secret. It was a secret by design. He had a plan. I'm telling you, God is smart. The devil's dumb. He is. I'm telling you, he's dumb. And I'm gonna prove it to you how dumb he really is. God is so smart. He is so smart. He knows what he's doing. He's got it all figured out. He knows how to put it in order. I mean, how can you? I can't put it in order. And I just got a little bit here. But he's got a great big going on. And he can put it in order and make it make sense. He knows the end from the beginning, and he knows the ending as well as he knows the beginning. God is awesome tonight.
He is.
I want to start in the garden. I want to start in a story of the garden. I want you to know tonight that Adam was the monarch of this planet. It says in Psalms 115:16, it says, "The heavens, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given unto the children of men." Genesis 1:26 says, "God said, Let there be, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth." So he was supreme. God is supreme out here. He has all the heavens. But he said, "I give the earth to man to take dominion over the earth." So man had power and he had authority. Power, that's God's nature. Righteousness and holiness. Authority comes from being born here. And that's what he had. He was native. This gives him legal right to citizenship, dominion over all the earth. That's what Adam had. That's what he had. I'm telling you, that's what he had. Okay. Satan shows up. He shows up in a serpent. And Satan is a transgressor. He doesn't have a legal right at all. But he shows up in the serpent. Illegal aliens have no rights at all because they're illegal. Satan was angel species. He wasn't born here. He couldn't just speak out of the realm of the spirit. So he had to enter into the serpent to speak. Hey, bear with me just a minute. God has power and authority. He does. He exercises it. How? He does it by, he did it by words.
Yes,
he did. And he said, let there be, in Genesis 1 and 3. Adam was made in God's image. And how does he exercise power and authority? The same way. Because he's made in his image. He has power and he has authority. He exercises it by words.
Right.
Well, Satan tries this too.
Yeah.
By using the serpent's body, he can't just speak from the spiritual realm. He needs a body. So he uses the serpent and speaks from something born here and uses words. He's got power, but no authority. So he uses the serpent, which is born here. Adam made in the image of God, he could have exercised his authority and his power. As the minute Satan shows up in the serpent, he should have said, get out of here.
Right. He has authority.
Leave. He did. He had power and he had authority. He had dominion over the serpent. He had all the power. All he should have said is, get out of here. And he would have had to have left. But he didn't do that.
Right.
He did not exercise his power or authority.
Mm-hmm.
So he transgressed. He fell. And he lost his dominion. He lost his power and he lost his authority. So that's what's been happening from then until now. God has found a way. See, God was so smart.
Mm-hmm.
He was so smart. I might have to get away from these notes. They drive me crazy. But I want to make a foundation. But before I really try to preach, I'll have to bring you to something here that I think is so vital that we'd never hear this. We don't hear this much. And I would like to talk to you about it. Jesus said, he said, greater works shall you do than these.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't he say that? He said,
right.
I'm going to go away. He said, I won't leave you comfortless. I will come to you to bring you power. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. So you receive your power,
mm-hmm.
and you receive your authority by the Word of God. You know, in the beginning, God spoke, and he said, let there be. And he looked at the sky, and he said, let there be, let there be, let there be. Remember, Adam was formed. Everything that is born of the Word can obey God. But things that are not born of the Word of God cannot obey God. Spiritually discern. It's enmity with God. It cannot discern the things of God. But let him walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. He can discern and hear from God. Romans 8 says that. Could you get Romans 8, brother? Right, quick, he's gone. All right. For
what do you need, brother?
Romans 8. Start me off with a couple of scriptures. And I think I can quote it.
Yeah, amen. I'm sorry.
Was that Spanish?
The first. Can you start at verse 1?
Verse 1.
Therefore
now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
For they that are after the Spirit cannot fulfill. What's the rest of it, brother?
For the law of the Spirit of God in Christ
hath made me free from the law of sin and death.
That's right.
What the law could not do,
in that it was weak in the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh. For sin condemns sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See?
Amen.
I'm telling you, you have to have authority. See, that's what Jesus did. He restored man. When you were filled with the Holy Ghost and you're baptized in Jesus' name, you're restored to what Adam lost. Now you have power and you have authority. Because you've been born of the Word of God. An incorruptible seed. You have authority. You're born from that world to live in this world. So it's restored to you your power and authority. That's why the Scripture says you could lay hands on the sick and they recover. That's the reason. Because you have power and authority. That's the truth. Right. That is the truth.
Amen.
And I thought that only the super spiritual and those guys who walk on clouds are the only ones that can lay hands on the sick and they recover.
Oh, no.
And that's not true.
No.
No, sir. We are now the sons of God. If we have the Spirit of God in us, working in us, we're now the sons of God. We're the sons of God. We have power. And here's why Jesus veiled the truth from the world. He had a plan. See, ever since, if you look at the Scripture, let me just jump ahead a minute. In Luke chapter 4, it says that there was a guy who had a devil. And he says, he comes to Jesus, he says, I know who you are. He said, if you look, I got it here somewhere, but I don't feel like looking for it. It messes me up. It's in Luke chapter 4. Yes, it is. Oh, come on now. When the devils knew him, in Luke 4:34 it says, I know you. I know who you are. And in essence, he said, what are you doing here? Because he's an alien.
Mm-hmm.
And see, spirit is alien, but he didn't realize something. Jesus, God did it right. See, he's an alien. He's illegal. He's illegal here. He's illegal, I'm telling you. The devil recognized, wait a minute. I know you. What are you doing here? And what does he say? He says, I was born here. That makes him legal. That's what he was doing. That's why he veiled his name. He didn't tell Satan. He didn't want Satan to know. The reason why he did not want him to know, because he knew he would kill him. He did it. Because the Bible says in Ezekiel 18:4 says that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Well, here comes Jesus. He's born. And he uses a body. He uses Mary's body. Then he uses the seed of that body. He comes in. He dwells in that body. And so now he's legal. He's legal. So Satan didn't realize. He didn't have a clue. He thought Jesus was a second or a son. He thought that he wasn't really the Almighty God. He thought that he was a second God somehow. He didn't know who Jesus was. He didn't realize who he was. Scripture says if they would have known, the princes of this world would have known who he was, they would not have crucified him. They wouldn't have done it because God cannot sin. And when they broke the law of sin and death, what happened? What happened? The Scripture says that it's to our benefit that God died. Because when he broke the when he killed Jesus and Jesus not had sinned, I got it right in front of me. I'm too nervous to look at it. He said, for it is not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin.
Right.
Wherefore then he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. Mm-hmm. Mary's body was used to bring in the Redeemer. Initial salvation depends upon a body. Your salvation depends also whether you let him use your body or not. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. In Luke 4:4-12, Jesus was tempted. Satan could not get him to sin, so he decided he would kill him. One of the devils, he come to him, like I just said a while ago, he knew him. He said, I know who you are. What are you doing here? He said, now I'm alien, but you're God. What are you doing here? What did Jesus do? First thing he did, he said, shut up and come out of it. Right. It's exactly what Adam should have done. He just demonstrated what Adam should have done.
Right.
He should have said, shut up and get out of here. Mm-hmm. But he didn't do it.
Right.
But Jesus did.
Uh-huh.
1 Corinthians 2:8 says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for they, if they had known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory.
Right.
They're dumb. I told you he was dumb. He didn't know it. That's what sin does. It desensitizes you to the truth. You cannot see clearly. You think you're okay, but you ain't. You're not okay. It's like leprosy. You can't feel your hands rotting off or your face falling off. You can't feel that. It has a sense of not being able to feel it. That's what Satan has. He's so confused. He thinks he's going to beat God. And it was so crazy. He thought that he could ascend to the heights of heaven, sit on the throne of God. Wasn't that the craziest thing? This devil. He thinks that he's God's opposite. And people think that too, but God has no
right.
opposite.
Yes, right.
He has no opposite.
Exactly.
He don't have an equal. There is nobody, no thing that can run along beside.
Right.
Not one. God has no equal. He is that great. He is so
That's
great.
Right. He's creator.
He is awesome, awesome, awesome. Satan had power over death. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself, speaking of Jesus, likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power of death, that is, the devil. Through death. See, he knew that he could do this. God's smart, I'm telling you. He knew if the devil killed him, then he'd snatch the keys away from him. Jesus came forth from the grave with a set of keys in his hand. I can just see it. And it wasn't a little literal set of keys, but he came from hell with the keys. And could you see this little key ring on his hand? Coming from, and there's some booger man, Satan, over there, and he's got these keys on his finger.
Yeah.
He says, are you dumb?
So dumb.
And that's the truth. The Satan is stupid. He thinks that he can fight against God. Well, he cannot do
right.
that.
Amen.
The law of sin and death. Behold, the souls are mine. And as the souls of the Father, so also the souls of the Son are mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. The law of sin and death reigned from Adam until Christ. Satan broke the law of sin and death by killing Jesus. Freedom from the law of sin and death. That's what Jesus did. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Romans 8:2. The biggest mistake Satan ever made was when he broke the law of sin and death. Death penalty revoked. Now, the law of sin and death still is in effect. Because if the man that sins and he dies in a sinful state, he is lost. He is lost. But we have a way of escape.
Yes, we do.
We have a way of escape.
Amen.
Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Mm-hmm. Jesus' death pays our debt when we are baptized in his name. We were on death row. He's exactly where we were.
Right.
But we have been pardoned by the King of Kings. If they had known the mystery, but they speak of the wisdom of God in a mystery. If they would have known it, they would have never crucified him. But they didn't know who he was. He shows up in a body and makes it legal. He makes it, he's born here. He's got authority. He's got power. That's all he needed. So what he's doing is restoring to us what was lost in the garden, restoring our power and our authority. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The Holy Ghost is power, and being born of the Word of God gives us authority. If they would have known the mystery, they would not have killed him. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the foundation of the world. He had it worked out a long time ago.
Yes, he did.
Which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known it, them clowns would have never killed him. But they thought they had it going on. That's what sin does. It makes you think you know what you're doing. I know what I'm doing. I know where I'm going. Don't worry about me. I'm okay. But you know what? You're not okay. They didn't understand the mystery of godliness. They didn't understand Timothy 3:16. 1 Timothy 3:16. Satan didn't realize that Jesus was going to be God himself. He didn't realize that. But Thomas did happen to tell it. He said, "Then saith he to Thomas, reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach thither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be fearless, faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God." He let the cat out of the bag. Scripture says you do err not knowing the Scriptures. Satan, a lot of people say Satan knows it all, but he don't.
No, he don't.
That's exactly right. Somehow, like Jesus said, he veils truth from some while revealing it to others. Do you think they would let that guy know the truth? No way, Jose. Sin blinds you. Sin absolutely blinds you from truth. Satan's revelation, that's exactly what it was. That wasn't just the Son of God. That was God, Almighty. And he couldn't kill him. And you know what? The grave couldn't hold him.
Right.
It just ain't happening. Okay. He's God. He's God Almighty.
Hallelujah.
Jesus gave the keys to Peter of death and hell.
Uh-huh.
And those keys he was spinning around on his finger.
Uh-huh.
He said, "Hey, Peter, some people get out of here. Here's the keys. Here's the keys, the way to getting out of here. I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou hast loosed on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Matthew 16:19. Peter gave the keys, or rather Jesus gave the keys to Peter to death and hell. That's the way out of here. Just unlock the door, Peter. And he did. Peter remembered the keys in Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost."
Right.
There it is. That's how we are restored.
Amen.
Peter just said that sins would pay for, or rather, Peter just said that sins are paid for when we are baptized in his name. We've got to stop people from being baptized. That's what Satan said. He's, "I've got to come up with a way to stop this." And this is, I'm going to tell you how he done it. He's trying to do it. That gave birth to the mystery of iniquity. "For the mystery of iniquity hath already worked. Only he who now let will let until he be taken out of the way." 2 Thessalonians 2:7. Satan says, "God fooled us with the mystery of godliness for 4,000 years. We'll fool the people with the mystery of iniquity for the next 2,000 years. Then gave birth to the Nicene Creed, the Nicene Council, and took the name out of baptism. What is the mystery of iniquity? If the mystery of godliness is the fact that God is one, what is the mystery of iniquity? The mystery of iniquity is the belief that God is three. Because the mystery of godliness is that God is one. And the mystery, that's what Satan wants to fool people with, is the mystery of iniquity. That God is three. That's crazy. And it's worked. It has worked. And it's kind of vice versa on that. That in a proverb, it's revealed to us that that's a lie. But to them, it's veiled that it's a lie. It's right the opposite. If the cornerstone of truth is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one," then the cornerstone of all deception is, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is three." Saul of Tarsus. That's the fact. Saul of Tarsus. "Who art thou, Lord?" He fell to earth and heard a voice saying unto him, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. Is it hard to kick against the pricks?" Acts 9. I am Jesus. Jesus is the only true wise God. Now, if there was, I love this. If there was another God, he's dumb. He don't know anything. Because Jesus is the only wise God. He couldn't find his way out of a dark room. But Jesus could, because he's the only wise God. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty and dominion and power, both now and forever. There is only one God, and Jesus is that God. And that's how he brought redemption to his people.
Right.
That's why he wouldn't reveal his name. He wouldn't tell him Satan nothing. He fell right into his plan. And that's why Jesus was on the cross singing. Because he's like, I'm just making up a verse. He said, You're so dumb. That's exactly. The devil, he's not smart. He's not, you do err not knowing the scriptures. Know the scriptures, because in them they testify of him.
Yeah.
The reason why people won't be baptized in Jesus' name, because they don't realize that Jesus is God. If they knew that Jesus was God, they would run to be baptized in his name. But they're blinded. They can't see the truth. For it's God that was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory. I'm telling you, it was him. Wasn't another. There is no other God except Jesus. And he paid the price for me and you so he could restore to us power and authority.
Yes.
And we can walk uprightly in this present evil world with victory in our hearts.
Amen.
I'm so excited to live for the Lord. I'm so excited to tell others about Jesus' name, baptism. And the infilling of the Holy Ghost. What a privilege it is to be
Hallelujah.
Able to tell people the truth.
Hallelujah.
You know, the people that know their God shall do exploits. They shall tell the truth. And you know what? Truth will set you free.
Yes.
Because there are no shackles in truth.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you're in trouble. That's right. Unless you're disobedient. Truth is an awesome thing. And that's what Pilate said to him. He said, wasn't it Pilate? He said, "What is truth?" He didn't even realize it, that the very essence of truth was standing right in front of him. You're talking about blind. Right in front of him. Just like Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot kissed the very door of heaven. And what did he do? He went, turned around and went and hung himself. The very essence of truth. And we have that here. We have the very truth of God's Word preached to us weekend after weekend. We have no excuse. We have no excuse why we shouldn't live uprightly before Him. Let the Holy Ghost work in our hearts and submit ourselves to Him, because our body depends on our salvation. Whether or not we give this body, your body, to Him, let Him use it. Because if you got a miracle in your heart, you got a miracle inside of you, you will walk different. You will dress different. You will act different. You will be different. And you will always listen to the Master. Always. Seek after Him. I just want to encourage you tonight that it's the Word of God is so rich. I wish that somebody a lot better off than me could have preached this message. I would have loved to have heard it. So I'm telling you, there's a lot here that I couldn't even scratch the surface of. But it is awesome to know that he fooled him. He fooled him into killing him. He didn't commit sin. Then he took the power of death out of his hands right then. He took it away, come out with the keys, and gave it to Peter. Peter now preached the Acts 2:38 message that sets men free from sin. Praise the Lord. Lord bless you. It's so good to be in the house of God tonight.
Yes,
and I'm enjoying myself. I hope I made some sense to you. Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Neil. Praise the Lord, everybody.
Amen. There's some good stuff there.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. Authority is delegated power.
Uh-huh. Come on.
That's what it is. You don't have any power of yourself. It's delegated to you. God gave it to you. Amen. There was a boy that climbed on a stand where traffic was directed from. And he didn't have any authority himself. He didn't have any power, but he was standing in a place of authority. And when he stood up there and started his waving his hand, traffic started moving. He thought that was pretty cool. But he was standing in a place of authority. And because he stood in a place of authority, people were subject to him and they began to obey him, not realizing that he didn't know what he was doing. Amen. Praise God. But I'm just saying tonight, and just concluding what Brother Neil said, God has given us authority. Delegated power. Delegated power. It's not our power, it's His power, but He delegated it to us. That's why He said, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Amen. Did He say that? These signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. There are certain things that we can do. When you get ready to pray for somebody, you ought to believe something's going to happen. Hello? Amen. Somebody comes and says they're sick, don't say, I'm going to call my pastor to pray for you. You pray for them. You get your oil bottle out. You put oil on their forehead. You pray in Jesus' name. You have just as much authority to heal the sick as anybody walking in shoe leather, because you're a believer. That's so. Amen. Praise the Lord. My job as a pastor is to shepherd you. But you have just as much Holy Ghost as I have. Is that all right? I said, you have the same Holy Ghost that I've got. And God can do the same thing through you that He can do through me. All of us have different gifts. But that's what authority is. Amen. You don't have any power to heal anybody, but you have authority to pray for the sick. And like Brother Neil said, you have authority to tell the devil to get lost, and he must obey. Amen. Adam didn't use that, and sometimes the church doesn't use that. But if we'll use it, we have it.
That's right.
I'm going to tell. I'm just going to. I got to quit here, but I'm going to hush, Brother Neil. I'm sorry. I'm going to mess up what you start.
Yes, sir.
You see, Adam lost dominion in the Garden of Eden, and it was lost in the flesh. in a body. That's why Jesus came in a body. He said, Satan defeated Adam in the body. I'm going to defeat Satan in the body. So he came back in the same battleground. And that battleground's still in the flesh, you and I. Amen. But now we are not only in the flesh, but we also have the power of the Spirit because we have the Holy Ghost. If the Spirit that was in Christ was also in you, it's going to quicken, give life to your physical body. Amen. So we have authority today. And now we have dominion. That's why you can walk on the devil's turf and you can bind him. You have authority over him. Amen. Now let me just quickly add, you don't have any authority over anybody's flesh. If it's a demon spirit, you can bind it. If it's just somebody's flesh, you have no authority there. Amen. You have to educate people. But you can cast out the devil. You can bind the devil. You can stop the devil because you have authority to do that. God gave you the Holy Ghost. Same Holy Ghost that Paul had. Same Holy Ghost that Peter had. Same Holy Ghost that Stephen had. Same Holy Ghost that Jesus had. Amen. You have that power today in the Holy Ghost, and he gave you authority to exercise that power. Amen. And that's what we have today. Isn't that right? Isn't that great? That's how you live an overcoming life. Amen. Don't you start this business. That I hear it all the time. People say, well, you know, we have to sin a little bit every day. No, you don't. That's a lie from the pit of hell. That's an excuse of the flesh. You don't have to ever sin. You don't have to. Some of us do, but you don't have to. Amen. The Bible said if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The only time we get in trouble is when we walk in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Amen. I'm hushing. God bless you. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Brother Neil, that was good stuff. You got us all stirred up here. Amen. Hallelujah. And I'm going to stop, though. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Amen. And so the prophet's going to hush. Amen. Praise the Lord. Anybody feel the Holy Ghost here tonight? Aren't you glad the Lord gave us truth? The Lord gave us dominion. The Lord gave us the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. We're not pawns in this world. What did Jesus say? He said, when you pray, he said, and then he gave us a model prayer. Remember that? Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, and thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. How's the kingdom going to come? Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. How's the kingdom going to come? When we do the will of God on the earth like it's done in heaven. And that's our job. Our job is to see that the will of God is done on earth like it's done in heaven. That's how we bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Amen. Now, we know not everybody's going to obey. We know that. But we're going to find everybody that we can. Amen. And then he's going to translate this kingdom. Amen. Now, that's a whole other subject. Praise God. But let's give the Lord thanks tonight. Shall we? Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you for truth. Thank you for the Holy Ghost. Thank you for the power of the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord, that we can live an overcoming life. Thank you that Satan has been put under our feet with all of his authority and all of his power. Thank you that you have revealed his devices. And we have wisdom today, the wisdom of God and the Spirit of God and the mind of Christ, so that we are made overcomers in this life. We give you praise for all of your gracious gifts in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here tonight. Amen. We're so glad you're here. Amen. Look forward again to the banquet Saturday night. Spanish Express tomorrow night. Church Sunday morning and church Sunday afternoon and church Sunday night. Amen. We got a lot of things to look forward to. God bless you. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Amen.